So why did Jesus die? There's actually a lot of things that can be said in answer to that question. We're not going to have time in half an hour to mention every single one of them. But next week we'll be thinking about the fact that Jesus rose again from the dead. And so we will be building on what is said this evening next week. And there'll be more things that we can bring in, more truths, more wonderful things that Christ has done when we think about the fact that he rose again from the dead. But for this evening then, why did Jesus die? And I want to answer that question by tackling the answer in five steps. And I trust that by the time we get to the fifth step, there'll be sufficient light and that God will give you sight to see what the answer is to this important question. Why did Jesus die? Well, let's begin by establishing this fact. Number one, all death is the result of sin. That has to be our starting point. All death is the result of sin. In the very second chapter of the Bible, in Genesis, we have that well-known account of God placing Adam and Eve in this wonderful garden that he had prepared for them, and he gives them a very, very simple instruction and command. Of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. If you break this commandment, you will die. Now, they didn't physically die on the day of their sin, but their certainty of death was fixed on the day that they sinned. Both Adam and Eve did die. So will you. So will I. Now, when we say that all death is the result of sin, I wonder what is it? What do we mean by sin? Well, actually, that verse that we've just read from Genesis 2 tells us everything we need to know about sin. It doesn't tell us absolutely everything about sin, but it tells us everything we need to know, everything we need to know about it. What is sin? Well, we see in those verses that Adam and Eve rebelled against the God who created them and disobeyed him. We see that they listened to the voice of another over and above God's voice, because of course Satan would come and he would speak to them and he would tell them something different. They would listen to his voice over and above God's voice. Sin is listening to the voice of another over and above God's voice. They coveted after something which God said they could not have. And they coveted it. And fourthly, they considered their own desires and pleasures more important than what they knew to be God's will. Now, we could say more than that about sin, but that's enough for you to realize what sin is. All death is the result of sin. Now, are we sure about that? Well, we can be absolutely certain. Paul, the apostle, when he was writing to the Romans, says this in chapter 5, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned." Well, in a very short statement, Paul really couldn't say any more than he needs to on that subject. Death entered the world through sin, said the apostle. Death has spread to all men because all have sinned. All death is the result of sin. And the apostle repeats it when he's writing to the Corinthian church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, across verses 21 and 22, he says this: since by man came death. See what he's saying? We did it. It's because of you and me that death is here. Because we're just like Adam. As in Adam, all die. All death is the result of sin. It's what God's word teaches. Number two. It's kind of an extension of what we've just said, but we need to state it clearly. Because all have sinned, all will die. Don't be thinking that somehow you can wriggle out of this. Somehow this doesn't apply to me. There are lots of people in this world much, much worse than me. I can see that maybe it applies to them, but I'm finding my own way of trying to wriggle out of this, thank you. No, because all have sinned, all will die. So in Romans chapter 5, death spread to all men because all sinned. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Romans 6:23, the wages of that sin is death. So if all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death, all are going to die. Hebrews 9, verse 27. It is appointed for men to die once. It's appointed. Have you ever been to an appointment at a medical surgery? It may be the doctor's surgery, it may be the dentist's surgery, it might be a clinic at the hospital. And there on the wall is a notice. And it's informing you of the number of appointments that were missed last month. Or the number of appointments that were missed so far this year. People had an appointment. They should have come. But they didn't. They didn't turn up. Now, there's a common image which is beloved of cartoonists that when you die, you arrive at the pearly gates of heaven, and there, waiting to greet you at the gates, is St. Peter. And cartoonists love this imagery. It's utter nonsense, of course. It has absolutely no place in the Bible, but that's an image that people will often portray. Let's just humour them for a second. Just humour them for a moment. Let's just suppose that it actually was like that. And so there's St. Peter standing at the gates of heaven, and he has a little booth that he can stand in. And on the wall of his little booth, there's a notice. And it says, number of appointments missed. What number is on the notice? It's a big, fat zero. No appointments missed. Now, if you go to the doctor's surgery or the dentist's surgery, the number on the notice is usually written on with a dry wipe marker pen. And every month they can wipe off last month's figure and they can write in the new figure for the latest month. On the notice at the gate of heaven, that zero would be printed in indelible ink because it's never going to change. There is no one that is going to miss this appointment. Maybe you know people who are rubbish at keeping appointments. They always turn up late, if they turn up at all. The Bible says it is appointed for every single person to die once. It's an appointment that God has made for you and for me. It is an appointment that you will keep. It is an appointment that you cannot avoid. It is an appointment that you cannot escape. It is an appointment that is certain. God has made it. God will ensure you keep it. It's appointed for every man and woman to die once. None of this reincarnation stuff. Once. Because all have sinned, all will die. Number three. We cannot presume that a particular death is because of a specific sin. We mentioned this the other week as in our studies in Luke. Now it is true that God can and does sometimes bring to an end someone's life specifically because of a particular sin or because of a particularly sinful life that they're living. A week last Saturday, I was asked to go and speak at Liverpool Young Life. This is probably a theme that only someone like Stephen Wells would think up. The title of their theme, People Who God Killed. People Who God Killed. I got to speak about Achan. Heard of him? Joshua 7? The children of Israel were defeating the city of Jericho and they'd been given strict instructions not to take any of the loot or booty for themselves. Achan did. He took some of the things that God had specifically said, you must not take them for yourself. And he took them and he hid them under his tent. He didn't tell anyone. But when they went on to the next town, Ai, which was much smaller and should have been a walkover, they were defeated. And it comes out that Achan has done this great sin. And God immediately gives an instruction to Joshua, the leader of the people of Israel. You take Achan and all of his family and everything that he possesses and you must kill him and utterly destroy him for this wicked thing that he has done. Serious business, isn't it? There are others in the Old Testament. And God takes their life because of a specific sin. What about in the New Testament? Well, actually, it does happen. If you were here this morning, Graham was telling the story to the children about Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to the church. They lied to God. And both of them dropped down dead because of a specific sin that they'd committed. God took them. When Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, there's lots and lots of problems in the church of Corinth. Lots of issues he has to address, and one of them is the dreadful abuse of the Lord's Supper that's taking place. And he actually tells them in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that some of the members of that church, God has taken to an early grave. They've fallen asleep, he says. That's New Testament language for dying. They've gone to an early grave because of their sinful behavior in the church. So it does happen. But we do know that as Jesus was teaching in Luke, and we looked at this the other week, what God actually tells us is that we are not permitted ourselves to make those kinds of judgments. That someone has died because of a specific sin. In Luke chapter 13, there are two well-known tragedies in their day that Jesus talks about. There were a group of Jewish worshippers who've been slaughtered by Roman soldiers. And there's a tower that has fallen, and in that accident, 18 people have been killed. And people say to Jesus, these people obviously were much more sinful than the rest of us to be caught up in a tragedy like that. And Jesus says, I'm sorry, you can't think that way. You can't talk that way. And here's the thing, said Jesus. When you hear of these kinds of tragedies, this is what you should remember. Unless I repent of my sin, one day I will die also. And when I die, if I'm in my sin, I will perish. And so the thing that you need to worry about is repenting, said Jesus. I mentioned in that message that hardly a week goes by when we don't have some kind of tragedy that's in our headlines. I was right, wasn't I? What happened last week? There's a sinful world for you. As one man decides to end his own life and takes another 149 with him. That's sin. That's the state of a sinner's heart. To do that. What does Jesus say we should do when we're reminded of death in those kinds of tragedies? You just remember that God has not yet brought your appointment, but it's coming. God has given you more time, more grace to turn in repentance to Christ. Use it. You have an appointment that you're going to keep, and you do not know when it will be. Number four. Death is not the end of the story. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. I haven't quoted the whole verse yet. It is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment, there's judgment coming after death. What is this judgment? What is it? Well, there's lots of places in the Bible that tell us. Let me take you to one of them. It's in Revelation 21. Let me read from verse 11. Sorry, but Revelation 20 from verse 11. Revelation 20 from verse 11. This is the Apostle John. He's given this vision by God of things that are to come. This is, listen to what he says. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, everyone, standing before God. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one, according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. Death is not the end of the story, my friend. It is appointed for men to die once, but after that, there's judgment. Where we read in Revelation chapter 20 that anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, and elsewhere in the Bible it tells us clearly that that casting into the lake of fire is a position that you remain in for all of eternity. All eternity. If you are not a Christian believer this evening, that is going to happen to you. It is. Christian friends, can you think of anything more important that your unbelieving family and friends and colleagues and neighbours need to hear? Tell me at the end, I would really love to know, if you think there's anything more important that they need to know about than this, that death is not the end, and after death there is judgment. Actually, there is one thing more important to tell them. It's this: God has provided a way of escape. God has provided a way of escape. And that is what the Easter story is all about. There is a way of escape. That's why it's called good news. Because up to now, the news has been pretty bad. But there's good news. A way of escape is made available by God. This is why Jesus came to die. This is why we need to consider the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Number five, final point. Jesus died as the perfect and final sacrifice for sins. That's why Jesus died. Now, I could bring you a deluge of verses from the Bible to support this. I could swamp you with verses that speak about these truths. But for this evening, let me just refer you back to some of those passages of Scripture that I've already mentioned, because there's enough in those for us to be clear. And if you want a little bit more information, well, I want to suggest two things. Number one, a little while ago on Sunday evenings, we had a series, The Gospel According to Isaiah. Go onto our website and look at those messages, particularly the final four or five messages which deal with Isaiah chapter 53. And listen in. And read about the one who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and that by his stripes we are healed. And read about the man who is Jesus, who stood in the place of sinners as our substitute on the cross. If you want more detail about the things I'm going to talk about in just the next 5 minutes, go there and have a look. Or maybe come and see me and ask for a copy of this little book. It's just a little booklet. It will just say again what I'm saying this evening. Come and see me and ask for one. Or talk to me. If you're with a Christian, talk to them. You need to be certain about these things before you leave tonight. So let's just have a think about this, that Jesus died as the perfect and final sacrifice for sins. We read a little earlier from Hebrews chapter 9. I just want to go back there with you for a moment. As I said, the writer to the Hebrews, he's talking about all of these Old Testament rituals and ceremonies that were established, taking place first of all in the tabernacle, which was their portable temple as they moved around the wilderness, and then a temple was built in Jerusalem and everything happened there. And all of these sacrifices took place. Loads and loads of blood was shed. It was a messy, smelly, dirty business, because sin in God's nostrils is a messy, smelly, dirty business. And the writer to the Hebrews tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ has come in as the great high priest and has made one final sacrifice for sins. He says, Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. My sins placed upon Christ. My guilt placed upon Christ. My death sentence placed upon Christ. And he died instead of me. That's why Jesus died. To bear my sins so that I don't have to. To bear the punishment for my sins so that I don't have to. No condemnation if you're in Christ Jesus. We read earlier from Romans chapter 3, but we only read a little part. Let me just expand slightly, a few verses either side. Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. All that Old Testament law keeping, now there's something completely different now. It's witnessed by the law and the prophets. This is what they were speaking of. This is what they were saying was going to happen. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption, paying a price for something. That was Jesus at the cross, paying the price for our sins, being justified freely. It's a gift. By faith you take it. You don't earn it. You'll never deserve it. You take it by faith as a gift. Justified. What does that mean? Being declared right by God. Being declared no longer guilty, no longer condemned. That's what justification is. And God declares that about me as a gift. We read from Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. But I didn't read the whole verse. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift. What? Not going into the lake of fire for all eternity. Life for all eternity. Life. I mentioned 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. I'll be making mention of this chapter next week when we think about the resurrection of Jesus. Many of you will know it's a very central chapter to that particular theme. From verse 21, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead, talking about the Lord Jesus. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. In Christ all shall be made alive through his death. We may live. Jesus died as the perfect and final sacrifice for sins. That's why he died. Why would God do this? Why would God send his only begotten Son to do this for me and to do this for you? Love, compassion, mercy, grace. God takes no delight in the situation that we are in. God did not have a sinister smirk on his face as Ananias and Sapphira drop down dead in front of the church. Or when he gave the instructions to Joshua to take the life of Achan. God takes no delight in these things. It is God's desire that no one should perish. And he's demonstrated his love in sending Jesus. The scriptures say, this is love. Do you remember those little sweets we used to have as kids? Love hearts, used to have those silly words on. Remember those little cartoons, love is? Some soppy, sentimental thing. Bit of fun. The Bible says, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to put right the problem of our sins. There is love, that God would do that for me and for you. God has demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you have never before repented of your sin and trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and for the hope of life for all eternity, if you've never by faith taken hold of that rescue package that God has secured through the death of Christ on the cross and through his resurrection, you need to do that this evening. God commands all men and women everywhere to repent. He doesn't suggest it might be a nice idea. He commands it. The only alternative is the truth of Revelation chapter 20.